today, was Jim Short pushed? Mick Molloy has an exclusive report on the latest development in the Get Shorty saga. Also today, our top 10 love tips, Spy Granny the movie, and heartbreak for one of our most beloved stars. We've got the details, the full colour picks, and the ugly slurs and innuendo. We've got Radio Gladiators. We'll crack the top off another pot of shite. And joining us live today, it's a man who likes a drive, Peter Brock. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's been described as lowfalutin, Martin Molloy. That's Maximilian with Sexual Healing. Good afternoon, Australia. It's myself, Tony Martin, at the wheel of Martin Molloy. It's here for another week, and who's in the other chair? It's this bloke here, our new assistant treasurer, Mick Molloy.
Well, big shoes to fill.
Yes.
Old Jimbo,
what's going on there?
Well, the Howard government team has suffered its first casualty in office, courtesy of assistant treasurer Jim Short and his resignation yesterday. Jimbo, or Shorty, take your pick, denies he was pushed and claimed the decision was entirely his and said he took the action to preserve the government's responsibility, decency and honesty.
Good on him.
Yep. Shorty quit yesterday after discovering he breached ministerial conduct rules by failing to sell almost 7,000 ANZ shares worth about 50 grand.
Gee.
A situation described by Jimbo as a careless and personally distressing oversight. Now, Tone, I don't know exactly what all that means, but it must be bloody serious because it hasn't been Shorty's oafish dial plastered across the front pages of newspapers all over the world after letting the cat out of the bag re-US interest rates.
No.
I would have thought clown-like behaviour of that magnitude would have called into question the government's responsibility, decency and honesty.
Yeah.
Shorty's the assistant treasurer. How could he have possibly offered his resignation with a straight face to his immediate boss, a man who's made us an international laughingstock? Shorty's shares were probably worth about $2.50 before Costello started flapping the guns. But no, Costello gets to stay, and his missus has shares in the Commonwealth Bank. They're not in his name, they're in the wives, which makes it all right. I mean, I'm sure he won't make her privy to any sensitive information that, well, he's not making available to everyone else in the universe. Imagine the pillow talk going on around at Costello's place. Sorry about that. Darling, I might increase my shareholdings in the Commonwealth Bank. Oh, really?
Wow, are you going to lose your shirt, sweetheart? Of course, I could tell her that, but I wouldn't want to breach my ministerial responsibility.
Is that how it would work? I mean, there's no chance of any funny business going on over there, is it? Come on, Liberal Party, while you're offering sacrifices, how about Costello's head on a stick? That's what we want, a prize scalp. I'd never even heard of Jimbo before all this blew up. He's probably a ring. I want to be sitting in the front row having a bit of a knit while the guillotine slices off the Costello melon. I want to see Downer cleaning out the office to take up his new position as a rodeo clown. Come on, Howard. We're not here for a haircut. Tone, if one of us brought our show's responsibility, decency and honesty into question, would we have to resign? Do we have drive time aerial responsibility?
I think so.
Well, that being the case, do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions regarding your share portfolio?
Oh, look, I don't know if this is real.
Do you not have 7,000 shares in Bryan Adams Record Company?
Well...
Yes, you do. And do you not play Bryan Adams twice daily on this program?
Well...
Hello? Sorry? Yes, I think you do.
Okay.
10,000 shares in Boyzone Inc., 3,000 shares in Alanis Morissette Limited. Songs you persist in playing on this program with alarming regularity. More than a careless and personally distressing oversight. Does this not constitute a breach of your drive time era responsibility? John Cougar Mellencamp, how much you get every time you play one of his numbers? Does not your girlfriend have shares in Peter Andre's work?
Well,
is it not true your girlfriend is Peter Andre?
Look,
do you have to say? It's obvious to me that your time here has been spent doing nothing but feathering your own nest. You bring shame, ridicule, shame, ridicule and scorn upon this program. You've betrayed the trust of me and the listeners. Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, Mick, okay, I'm going to resign.
Mm.
Give me a couple of minutes to just prepare a short statement.
All right.
And in the meantime...
G'day, Steve Bedwell here. And whatever you do, don't forget to join us tomorrow morning because your future could come true with Psychic Tony. Yep, Steve Bedwell and the morning...
John Mellencamp, lonely old night here at Martin Malloy, and a transcript of that last segment has been sent to the Broadcasting Tribunal.
Sorry for flipping my headphones off there too. Nearly had your eye out in the middle of all that, didn't I?
In the middle of the segment, I had to duck a missile. But, you know, it's all part of life's Rick pageant.
Oh, and I've just heard from the Liberal Party, Tony, they've also sacked Frank Henderson, John McSweeney and Geoffrey Thompson. Heard of any of those blokes?
No,
I didn't think you had. No, I don't even know if they exist.
They're sacking them. Let's talk women's mags, Mickey.
Oh, good.
I've been reading them today, and in particular the Woman's Day, where one headline in particular caught my attention. Totty's Love Tips.
How did I miss that?
Oh, you couldn't fail to be drawn in by Totty's Love Tips. As the host of the sizzling TV show Sex Life, beautiful Totty Goldsmith has learnt just almost all there is. She's learnt just almost. I don't even know if that's a sentence, just almost.
It is on this program.
But she's learnt just almost all there is to know about romance, steamy sex, and plain old-fashioned lust. You know, Pete Smith said exactly the same thing about working on Sale of the Century.
Did he?
He did. Anyway, Totty has printed her top 10 love tips. And what I thought I'd do, if it's okay with you, Mickey, is just run through them.
Please.
And pardon me. I think I'm still coughing up bits of your headphones. I think that's the last segment. I'll just run through them.
Okay.
And see if they compare with those top 10 love tips we thrashed out last week.
Okay.
Remember that when we were stuck between floors in the lift and you said, Tone, we can either scream for help or we can sit down and quietly nut out our top 10 love tips.
Yep.
And when the rescue team arrived 4 hours later, I think we'd got two of them.
Yep.
So let's go through them now. Anyway, says Totty, most important, make sure you feel good about yourself. Feeling comfortable with who you are is really important. I agree, Mick, and that's why whenever I introduce myself to a woman, I just come right out and tell them, hi, I was the co-host of Radio's Shoot the Celebrity in the Arse. Sure, the conversation tends to come to a screeching halt, but at least I'm comfortable with who I am.
There you go.
Totty tip number two, make sure the time you and your partner spend together is quality time. It's hard to be romantic sitting in front of the telly watching football. Well, that directly contradicts tips 2 through 7 on our list. It's hard to be romantic sitting in front of the telly watching football. I think it's hard not to be. You know, I don't even follow the footy, Mick, but ever since you loaned me that Black Label Edition video of the 93 grand final, oh, it's got things moving around at our place, I can tell you.
I want that back.
Tip number three, romance is funny. Humour is essential. It is. And that's why every Valentine's Day, forget the chocolate, say it with fake doggy do. That's what I say. Tip number four, be open and honest about your feelings. Now, what do we have for this one? Get out of it. What do you want to think you're a poof? Oh, well, this isn't a final draft, obviously.
It's under construction.
Bit of tuning to be done. Tip number five from Totty, don't lead your partner on. If there is no chance of a romantic future with someone, gently tell them so. Well, you did that with Elise Platt, didn't you, Mickey? Remember when the two of you were going out years ago? You very gently told her it was over. Everyone who was there agreed it was sensitively handled. The priest, the bridesmaids, her father. And as you raced down the aisle, hurling your top hat in the air, screaming, free, free, free at last, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, if I remember.
Yeah, well, you got to do the right thing.
Tick one there for Totty. Now, the next three Totty tips are work at it, take your time, and trust your instincts. On our list, we seem to have replaced all those three with get them pissed early. I'm not sure about that. Still a bit of redrafting to do, as I say. Tip number nine is a disagreement is not the end of the world, and open discussion is always better than bottling things up. Yeah, that's the opposite of my dad's philosophy. He's been bottling stuff up since the late 40s.
Has he?
You've got to have some bitterness and resentment saved for your retirement, Tony, he says. Where's Dad, Mum? Oh, just out in the shed bottling up some ugliness for a rainy day. It's his investment in the future. And finally, tip number 10, be open in communicating your feelings about physical intimacy. Well, we agree with Totty on this one. I mean, that's why we had those special underderps made up with that phrase on the front, there's a party in my pants and baby, you're invited. With sunshine after the rain here at Martin Malloy. Mick, is there any been, or has there been any? Can you tell it's Monday?
It's Monday, people.
Still getting the mouth into gear. We've done three segments already. I've been hit in the mouth by some headphones. And look, it's affected me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the metal plate in my head, too. It's
It's all falling apart.
It's just all over the shop. Now, I know Spy
Granny. What were you trying to ask?
Spy Granny, Mick. Yep. People were talking Spy Granny a fair bit in the media last week. Of course, we're talking about the alleged Spy Granny of Sydney, who during World War II was alleged to have passed alleged secrets onto the alleged then Soviet Union.
It caused a bit of a brouhaha last week, and we jumped on it, and we got the rights. We secured the rights to our story. It was a very fierce bidding war, mainly between me and Tone.
And what's
no one else was interested. Well, we've got the rights, and I'm pleased to announce that we're packaging up our own special series based around the Spy Granny. Here it is, a taste.
Move over, Matahari. There's a new spy doing the rounds, and she's deadlier than the Black Widow. She's a haughty temptress who knows what she wants and knows how to get it. Martin Malloy are proud to present their new six-part radio serial, Spy Granny.
Hello?
Yes?
Hang on. Spy Granny, we've got a spy who wants to come in from the cold.
Well, tell him to wipe his feet first.
At the ripe old age of 88.
Two fat ladies.
Not now, Spy Granny, not now. At the ripe old age of 88, she's about to embark on one of the most dangerous operations of her long career.
It's not another hip operation, is it?
Shush, Spy Granny. We'll get to you in a minute.
I will not shush, you rude young man. Kids today, you've got no respect. Look here, you need a good wash. Have you got any money?
Yes.
Well, how about buying yourself a razor? You look like a dog's breakfast.
All right, bit of shusho, please, Spy Granny. Let me just finish the promo and I'll be with you in a second. She's immersed herself in a world of high-level espionage, covert manoeuvring, and...
Sensible shoes. Mention my sensible shoes.
Spy Granny, would you sit down and be quiet?
Language.
This week, Spy Granny must infiltrate...
Where do I sit?
What?
Where do I sit? There aren't any chairs.
Just stand quietly. She must infiltrate...
What about your chair?
I'm trying to put down a promo for your new series.
In my day, young people gave up their seats for the elderly.
Have you got any medication to take?
No.
Why go and watch Midday?
Oh, good heavens, no. I can't stand that Carrie Ann. The whole show's gone to pack. Why couldn't they get that charming Ken Sutcliffe to host? Now, there's a good catch, girls. Always neatly groomed, lovely smile. No, he really trips my trigger.
Yeah, that's great.
I'd love to trap him between my thighs and crush him like a walnut.
Oh, steady on, Spy Granny.
Well, are you going to get that?
It's coming from your hat, Spy Granny.
Oh, it's that infernal bowling hat phone. I'll get it. Hello? Martha, how are you? Good. How's Frank?
Oh, that's very good.
Still hasn't come in from the cold?
He's a nut.
I hope he's wearing that cardigan I knitted him, or he'll catch his death.
Spy Granny, coming soon to Martin Ball.
Sorry, what was that? Tell him to speak up.
Spy Granny! Oh, blow it out your ass!
Language.
That's simply red with, of course, stars here at Martin Malloy. And in the next hour, Peter Brock's going to be...
Beauty. Brocky.
Snap. Can you call him Brocky?
You can just call him Brocky.
I know we had to get official written permission to call Booney.
Mm.
But how's Brocky with that?
Hey, he'll be fine.
And he's got some kind of new TV show starting this week where it's him... And security kind of camera footage. Mm. It's one of these hidden camera shows.
Yeah, right.
And it's lots of, you know, bad driving activity.
Beautiful.
So we'll be talking about that. And also in the next hour, Pot of Shite continues. Radio Gladiators is coming up. And I'm just, because there's not much news today.
No, there's not.
So as you can tell, I'm just leafing through the women's magazines.
What you got now?
I've got the new idea now. It's a fantastic photograph.
You're such a tart. You just jump from one woman's mag to the other. Nary a care for the one you've just tossed aside.
I'll go to whichever one has the dopiest picture of Jason Donovan. Here he is out and about only a couple of weeks after he was named one of the world's worst dressed people. He's wearing... Well, most of a polar bear.
He skinned that sucker.
He's wearing some outrageous kind of Joan Collins ensemble. Mm. What is that? How do you describe that to in a non-visual medium? How do I best...
this across.
He's human fairy floss.
That's what he is.
I don't know what you describe that. He's skinned a polar bear.
I think you hit it on the nail on the head during that song, Mickey. He's doing anything to distract you from the eyeballs. And it's just over the page from a fantastic little story about Angry Darren Hinch. I think that's his new name. Just Angry Darren. He's quit his radio job. I know we don't really keep up to date with what's going on over on the AM band. Mm. But there's a picture of Darren relaxing. He's still angry, even though he's relaxing. He's quit his talkback radio gig in Sydney. And I've noticed there's a certain look to these talkback blokes, isn't there? You've got to have it all. You've got to have, well, you've got to be pretty full of yourself for a start.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to be just a little bit old for jeans.
Check.
Just a little bit old for jeans. And you've got to have some boots that suggest that when you're not on the blab on the radio, you're some kind of cowboy. You're like Kevin Costner.
Yeah, you're out there.
Swishing about on a horse. Mm. And anyway, Darren's talking about how he's quit his job because apparently he got into a row with his boss, Singo, John Singleton, over a woman. They nearly came to blows over a woman in a ritzy Sydney restaurant. The ugly incident came within a whisker of violence.
Have they read Toddy's Guide, Toddy's 10 Tips? What are they doing?
What kind of woman is being fought over by John Singleton and Darren Hinch?
You know, all I'm thinking is that footage you see in documentaries of two giant walruses sitting on the beach, hacking up over something, you know. Two big slugs just baring their teeth, and one of them's kind of slippers off into the distance.
After this little fracas, Darren was deeply hurt.
Oh, was he?
And what he did is during what's described as a solo weekend trip to his Mount Macedon vineyard. He decided to resign with dignity after first consulting his, quote, best friend.
That'd be an old bottle of Beaujolais.
Picked fresh off the vine.
A very old and confidential close friend. Okay, what else do we learn in this little article? It just goes on and on. Little details are what jump out at me. And they're talking about the interviewers visited Darren's 21st floor Sydney Harbour apartment, which features a book of erotic art on the coffee table.
What would that be?
Pickering calendar. It's got to be the Pickering calendar.
I reckon it's got, you know, something blue on the front and you open it up and it's one of those phony covers. It's one of them novels. Do you remember Death at Newport?
No. No, I don't.
All right, so I think that's enough Darren talk. I'm feeling quite ill. But the big story in here is Madonna, Mickey. Madonna has announced she wants to have more babies.
Oh, God.
Applicants are asked to form an orderly queue and please wait till your number is called.
This is Martin Malloy.
That may be very funny to you, Mrs. Morley.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
It's Martin Malloy, and it's time for this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
We've just had another one of them weekends.
Yep.
So why not ask the question, did you have a top night? We're talking top nights again here at Radio Gladiators. I'll tell you who didn't have a top night on the weekend. Yeah. And that was Australians working at the Casey Research Station in the Antarctic. What's going on down there?
I like it. Bit of cabin fever.
Yes, 15 of the people who work there have turned on the bloke in charge.
That's everyone.
Yeah, that's right. The whole population. A peacemaker has been called to an isolated Australian Antarctic base to prevent a rebellion between desperate staff and their unpopular expedition leader. Is Arthur Tunstall working down there?
He might have. Yeah, been sent down for a rotate.
Oh, dear. And, you know, you're talking near 24-hour darkness. So there's the potential for an ongoing top night situation in Antarctica. Have you considered that? It's just one long top night down there, or in this case, it ain't.
And they've all got coats like Jason Donovan. That's what they've been doing. Skinning polar bears.
Everyone dresses like Jace down there, and the FBI have been called in.
Dear, oh, dear.
The FBI summoned to Antarctica to slap a few wrists and...
Come on, you lot.
What's been going... People been in the fridge, you know, eating out of Tupperware containers that had someone else's name on them. That kind of thing.
Tony, I don't know if you'd need a fridge.
No. Truth be told.
But what is it? It's like you've got a Shining kind of situation, have you? It's a lock-in, it's snowing outside, and everyone just goes a little bit creepy.
It's a bit like The Thing. Remember The Thing?
Oh, yes.
It could be anybody. Mm. Apparently, I actually know a bloke who worked at a weather station in Antarctica for a year, and we went to meet him at the airport when he came back. This was about 10 years ago, and we met him at the airport, and we said, how was it? And I think the first thing he said was, I never want to see another ping-pong table in my life. It was just endless ping-pong all night, 24-hour darkness, ping-pong, ping-pong. And he was also sharing a room in a sort of bunk bed arrangement of a bloke who just wouldn't shut up about you too.
For years.
This bloke's going to be off. I hear about Bono and he's recording an album in Scotland in a castle again. So he was allergic to ping-pong.
It was probably the same bloke who accidentally stepped on the one ping-pong ball.
So that's the kind of thing. That is not a top night.
Yeah.
Who did have a top night? Did you have a top night, Mickey?
Let me have a think. I think Friday night desecrated a few headstones.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night attended an exorcism. Cut myself in pig's blood. No, not really.
Just
pretty standard fare. Pretty
usual.
Quiet. You know what I do when I'm having a quiet night?
What do you do, Mickey?
Well, I don't like anyone else having a good night. So what I do is I get together a couple of mates and we go driving around looking for people who are playing music loud.
Right.
And what we do is we go wearing nothing but our dressing gowns.
Yeah.
So you look a bit bleary, your hair's up, and you just knock on the door. Yeah. You just knock on the door going, excuse me, I'm really sorry, but would you mind turning the music down? Some of us are trying to get some sleep.
And how many can you get through of a night?
I've done 15.
Have you really?
15 people. I've ruined them all because I wasn't having a big night.
But that is a perfect example of a top night. I had a fairly routine night of, I think, Saturday night. Me and the girlfriend went down the video shop and got there. You know, there's a point on a Saturday night at the video shop when the waters are fished out.
Where the horses bolted.
And you've just got there too late. And we've gone, I think it's time we committed to Nixon. And we thought, let's just give Nixon a go. Let's see what's happening to Nixon. And I don't know that much about Nixon, so let's get out Nixon. And it's over 3 hours. And you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a film about the sweatiest man in the history of politics. That's all it is. It's just this real sweaty bloke who becomes president. First half hour of the movie, sweating away.
Yeah.
Okay, is he gonna? Can such a sweaty bloke become president?
Mm.
He's done it. Well done. Sweatiest president of all time. Here he is making a historic speech and just sweating heaps. Here he is getting in lots of just some... I can't remember what the tape stuff was about. I was too busy watching him just piss sweat. He's just on the sweat. And then at the end, there's a very moving scene when he resigns because I think he's just too sweaty. I think that was it. That was the reason. It's over 3 hours about the world's sweatiest bloke. All I can tell you.
He resigns and goes to live in a sauna.
He does. I think so. See Anthony Hopkins as the sweaty bloke who became president.
So you've been having loads of fun.
That's not a top night at all. Tell us about your top night and we might have a prize with your name on it. Yes, step into the prize lounge and check this out. It's more comedy bits. It's the Blackadder Christmas Carol.
Yes, please.
Because that was quite popular.
Mm.
And we're throwing in the third Wallace and Gromit film, the sequel to The Wrong Trousers, The Close Shave.
We shouldn't just be throwing that stuff around.
It's another Oscar winner and I don't think this one's even out yet. It's only coming out today and it's just as good as The Trousers.
It's so the bizzo.
Check it out and also you'll go into the draw for yet another trip to Club Med Noumea, courtesy of Galliano Sambuca. They're turning on the big prize, Radio Gladiators today. Call us. Tell us about your top night. It doesn't matter how pathetic it was. It's always a top night to us. 1-800-657-657. Cox, who do you love here at Martin Molloy? It's Radio Gladiators, and once again, we simply want to hear about your top night. Who had a top night, Mickey?
Shane had one, I believe. How are you, Shane?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. What you got for us?
Was in that big town of Wagga, which is a pretty funny name.
Yes. Wagga! It's set off our audience again.
We had one of the footy clubs had a beer and prawn night.
Right.
And the beer and prawn night started off, and plenty of beer, and when the prawns turned up, they were all frozen.
Oh, no.
And all we had around was those heaters that are run off diesel, so we could thaw the prawns out on the heaters, and they all tasted like diesel.
Right. So you ended up having just a beer and beer night.
Yeah, well, then we had some entertainment, which were supposed to be jelly wrestlers, and they turned up and done one sort of wrestle.
Right.
And,
one round.
Yeah, one round, and then they had a half-time break, and one of the footy players decided to dive into the pool and busted the pool, so that was the end of the wrestling. And then they run out of beer at about 11 o'clock.
Top night! You know what I do when you get a frozen prawn?
Yeah.
You throw them at those mosquito coils. That thaws them out quick, smart.
And while you're calling us from Wagga, Shane, what do you feel about this business where Americans won't name a street Wagga Wagga Drive because they think it sounds funny? How are the locals reacting to that?
Oh, everyone's sort of not really worried about it. It's all right. Doesn't matter. They're only septics anyway.
Yes, you're not planning to, you know, name a street in Wagga Wagga after Butt Montana?
No, mate, no.
All right, well, good on you. Thanks,
Shane.
That was a top night, but Donna had one as well. Are you there, Donna?
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. What was your top night all about?
Oh, I had a wedding anniversary last week, which was my first wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And we went to the same motel, and everything that we did the night we were married, and we were going to do everything the exact same way.
It was a reenactment.
Yes, well, sort of anyway, except we didn't have a really big fight on the night we were married.
Oh, no.
We made up for it, don't you worry. It was the best night ever.
That's good to hear. But what set off the argument on your wedding anniversary out of interest, Donna?
The fact that I wore my wedding gown to the motel the night we were married, but I didn't want to wear it again on our wedding anniversary, so...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I should say... the wedding night was a good night, but I think the first anniversary was better because we had all reason to make up for it.
Oh, well, that's always good, isn't it? You've obviously been reading Totty Goldsmith's Love Tips.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not them sort of magazines. I like the picture. You get better.
Good on you. All right, Donna, well, that sounds like a top night and many top nights in store along that marriage. But have we got Phil on board? Phil?
How you going, guys?
Good. Not bad. You've got an entirely different story.
I do. Well, I was sitting around with my mates... really quiet night, didn't have anything to do.
Yep.
So we went out and ripped the muffler off a mate's car. So anyway, we found this quiet suburb, really, really quiet. So went down there about midnight.
Yeah.
Get screaming down the street with a car full of mates with all our doors open.
All the doors open,
yeah. Get right to the end of the street, rip the handbrake on, and then slam all the doors at the same time. Sounds like this huge car accident, everyone come running out from everywhere.
So what you're telling us is you were so bored you decided to fake a car accident.
We did.
You realise you could put these skills to use professionally and do, you know, them ads where they really do fake a car accident?
Yeah, we could make millions of dollars, couldn't we?
Well, I see your car comes screaming down the highway with all four doors open.
It's the only practical application I can think of.
Nicely done.
Well, there's a top night,
there's
I suppose.
There's a guy who can make his own fun.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Now we've got Matthew. Matthew, have you had a top night?
Yeah.
What happened?
I went to a school reunion and no one turned up.
How old are you?
14.
Oh, and you're already going to school reunions. Was that a reunion of everyone who was there last year?
All your buddies you hadn't seen since recess?
And why did no one turn up?
I don't know.
Do you reckon you might have been the victim of a practical joke?
I'm not about it.
Uh-oh. Everyone's too cool when they're 14 to go to a school reunion, aren't they? Who's going to school reunion? So you were the only one there?
Yeah.
You're the only one who didn't wag your own school reunion.
And so what did you do? Did you just...
I just went back home.
You didn't just, you know, do a solo Macarena for a while, that kind of thing? No. Okay, well, that's a pretty sad top
night. That is pretty sad. I'm sorry to hear about it, Matthew.
Let's see if Renee can go any better. Are you there, Renee?
Hello, boys.
Tell us about your top night.
Well, boys, Renee's not my real name. I'm here visiting at the moment,
okay.
But I can't divulge my real name because I'm in hiding after my top night.
Oh, okay. Okay, Duchess of York, continue.
Okay. Just call me Saddlebags. Anyway, now, my top night began when my friend of mine's working for quite a well-known millionaire here in Sydney. And we were all around. There was quite a few of us, and we started doing the Macarena on the pool table.
Oh, really?
Having a great time until little old Renee, I should call myself, chundered into the swimming pool.
Oh, my God.
The night's turned.
Yeah, but then we topped it off with the Brown album.
Oh, you were listening. Now, are you sure you haven't got this in the wrong order?
Well, I was. Somebody did actually put the Brown album on earlier on in the evening, and I was sort of feeling a bit squeamish then.
Right.
And I think it just remembering the tidbits of the Brown album just, you know, chopped it off, and I had to chunder into the pool.
Well, if you'd been playing the Brown album, they'll be scrubbing the walls at me and his pad for the next 3 months, I imagine.
Well, I woke up the next morning. I woke up on Saturday morning beside the pool, and, you know, a pool of my own, you know what.
Right. I seem to remember when we played the Brown album to Michael Gudinski for the first time, he threw up in the pool, but okay, I suppose that's a top night of sorts, Renee. And finally, we've got Paul. Paul, did you have one?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I started off actually Saturday morning. Saturday night was my 21st birthday.
Yep, yep.
And during the week, I was feeling a bit sick, feeling like I was getting the cold, so I've dosed myself up on the Codral and everything. And come Saturday morning, I've woken up and bang, I've got the chicken pox.
Oi, 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 oi!
Yeah. So the marquee's all set up outside. Everyone's been invited and all the grog's out there and lucky me's in spots and having medication. So
you haven't actually had your 21st?
Yeah, I have on Friday and then it actually went ahead.
Oh, it went ahead with just you.
No, people came and everything, but they were sort of a bit reluctant to come near me.
They came, they just stayed at a nice, safe distance.
That's right.
It must have been great in your 21st.
Yes, all the guests having a good time, you in the plastic bubble.
Good to see you, Paul. Good to get away from me! Get away!
Well, that is a top night, but which is our winner, Mick Malloy? I don't know, there's quite a few there. The wedding anniversary, that had a happy ending.
It did indeed.
Frozen prawns and the busted swimming pool.
I like it a lot.
You going for that one?
Oh, yeah, I think I am. We're going up the top to Wagga Wagga.
It's Shane from Wagga Wagga. And, I said the name, Grace. So, yes, I'm afraid. Are you there, Shane?
Yes. That's great.
Well, they'll be laughing in Wagga Wagga tonight because you've got a couple of comedy videos and you've gone into the draw for that trip to the Zambuca Singles Party at Club Med Noumea.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Where the prawns are always thought out and ready. So thanks for playing. Everybody who took part, everybody who had a top night, we'll be back in the next hour with someone who's always on for a top night, Brocky. In this hour of Martin Malloy, why not come for a dip in our big pot of shite? We'll go all laid back on you people as we go round the dial. And next up, Brocky's on board, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's the ultimate summer refreshment. Thank you very much, Barnsey. That's Lover Lover here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour and, well, we've got company. This bloke, he's been driving like a man possessed for over a quarter of a century with more wins at Bathurst and Sandown than anyone else in leather pants. And this Wednesday on Channel 7, you can see the first ep of his new TV show, Police Camera Action! Which presents video footage of actual drivers behaving like bloody idiots. He's seated, he's belted up, and he's going by the name of Peter Brock. Peter, thanks for coming in today.
Well, it's just sensational to be here.
Now, what's the protocol? Are we allowed to refer to you as King of the Mountain?
Yes, as distinct from some other terms which I fear you might foist upon me.
Now, Peter, Michael Flatley's coming out here. He's Lord of the Dance. Will you two be getting together?
Yeah, we might get together and have a bit of a tete-a-tete.
We were reading that apparently Michael Flatley, it's so exciting doing that Celtic dance, as soon as he comes off stage, he has to have sex with somebody. Is that what it's like driving in Bathurst?
Well, we'd love to think so, wouldn't we?
That's why you're in such a hurry to get it over and done with, isn't it?
Let's go.
Now, you've won 9. What year was your first year when you went to Bathurst?
Yeah, first year I went to Bathurst, 69, actually.
69.
And I won in 72, driving a little Tirana XU1.
That's an old car, isn't
old
it?
Old car.
Now, you have to get out the front and crank it up with a handle.
Very narrow vehicle. I always figured it was a great advantage though because you could fit it through gaps. And a carousel, it two-wheeled a bit.
Oh, really?
So it would even through smaller gaps if you very, very serious about things. I was young and silly.
What's the worst car you've ever driven? Have you ever got behind the wheel of a Skoda?
As a matter of fact, I went to watch a race in Brno, Czechoslovakia, one year, and I had two GM executives with me. Went to watch a race. The idea was we're going to go over there next year and take them on the Commodore. No. Well, the first year I went there, you see, I went to the car rental place, and I said, I want the worst car you got. I said, excuse me? I said, I want the worst car you've got. Look, here's a brochure, and I went through the top down, and here's one, and this one's about, I don't know, so many... What are they called? Drachmas or something. I don't know what they were. But it was a shocking thing. It was a little DKW. It was very, very close to the Skoda and was bad. And we had luggage all over that vehicle. You can't believe it. And the GM executives, when I walked out, I said, got the car. said, you've got to be bloody joking, Brock. What are you up to?
And tell us about the whole Bathurst experience, because it seems to be the big one on the calendar. Do you look at guys like Craig Lowndes now, and does that, like, take your memory right back to when you were beginning?
Oh, very much so. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, young and keen, you don't know any different. You know, you're just going to go there and win this race. No one's told you that there's all these other things that can happen to you. And at that era, I mean, it's just sensational to be coming from that perspective. But as time goes by, of course, you get a few things happening to you and you start realising that, oh, gee, maybe I should have really appreciated some of those victories because they're not all that easy to get.
No, what about the old rivalries? I think you and Alan Moffat used to go head-to-head year after year.
Well, it's an interesting thing with old Moff because in that era, I never spoke. I mean, I knew that Moff used to psych himself into some sort of frame of mind by ignoring me, and he used to throw, you know, darts into some sort of cut-out picture of Brock on the wall or whatever, to psych himself into a winning frame of mind, you know. But my way of psyching Moff out was to go up and say, g'day. How are you, Al?
Oh, he didn't like that.
Here we go. What? Cut it out with a mind game. Brocky,
stop being friendly. What are you doing? So it was really radical. And anyway, I probably went through a decade there of doing no more than saying the odd g'day to him.
Oh, that's sinister.
Yeah, yeah. And we didn't like each other much, or we didn't like each other. And we got to about in the 80s somewhere, and it became apparent that, well, be a good idea if I rang up Moff and said if he wanted to drive one of my cars in this race at Sandown. And rang him up, and the first thing he came over is he's looked inside my Commodore, and it's got a steering wheel on it with my signature on it.
Right.
Moff quietly went away, brought back a steering wheel with his signature on it, and said, I couldn't stand watching Peter Brock's name all there in front of me, you know, he would have run off the road. But anyway, as it went by, we became pretty good mates. Mm-hmm. And I realised he's a hell of a nice bloke.
I see.
And we went through this era of, to win races, the teams didn't speak to each other and you looked at daggers with each other.
Yeah.
And, it was 10 years wasted, really, because I found he was a good fella.
But has he got his own signature Commodore on the market? Has he got his own car?
Yes.
He has?
Yes.
What's he got?
Well, as a matter of fact,
one of those Czechoslovakian
jobs? No, he's got a HO. He's got some high output or HO Falcon.
Right.
I think they still sell these cars. Mm. I'm not too sure if they're a hot seller or not, but Alan Moffat, I saw one the other day. Alan Moffat, signature on the back, HO symbol on it, and it was Moffat of old.
Yeah. And what about the Brocky Commodore? Do you find people take it personally? People be coming up to you in the supermarket and going, Brocky, can you come out and have a look at your car for a second? There's a bit of trouble with the diff. Do you get that?
Hey, you've been following me around. Because I've got to tell you, this happens. And people, they tell me all about it as if it's... I built about 4,500 of those rockets, and I mean, obviously, they're all different specs and who knows where they went.
Mm.
But they think that you know all about their particular motor car and why it's got this glove box lid that won't close properly. Oh, goodness knows what. And the sunroof's leaking. Here's the manufacturer or something. But
bring it around on the weekend and we'll work on it.
Yeah. But there is a lot of people out there that still own those cars with a great deal of pride. And I'd like a dollar for every time I've signed the glove box on one of them, I can tell you.
Well, Peter, if you don't mind, we'd like to talk about bad driving next. We want to talk about this show that you're helming. It starts on Channel 7, I believe, this Wednesday.
Yep.
It's called Police Action Camera. We'll talk about that next on Martin Malloy. Freedom, 1990 style, from George Michael here at
Martin Malloy.
And Peter Brock has kept the engine running. He's sticking around with us here on the panel. Brocky, what is this new TV show of yours? Tell us all about it.
Primarily, guys, it's entertainment.
Yep.
So it's picking on some surveillance footage that the police and other authorities have collated over the years.
Mm.
Some of them are things like kids spraying graffiti on trains.
Oh, dude.
Shoplifting.
Yes.
One particular one that got me was someone robbing one of those, a game machine in a parlour, with a stick, like an icy pole stick, with a bit of chewing gum on the end. I couldn't believe it ever. I couldn't believe it.
Did you go out and give it a try yourself?
No, I'm thinking about it, but then again, those surveillance cameras are lurking everywhere.
Now, there's a lot of driving. Tell us about the driving aspect of it. I know, let's start with the opening of the show. There's a fantastic shot where you just come screaming across some kind of car park. They've let a bit of water down. You do a bit of a donut, you step out of the car and you say, welcome to my program. I'd like to see more shows open with a stunt. How many takes?
Actually, there was a few on that one.
Yeah.
But because the guy with the boom mic didn't have the right place, and the other guy didn't have, they had this board there, they shine a bit of extra light on the scene.
Right,
you know. But I'd actually rather liked it because quite often as a racing car driver, you know, you do those things. That's part of your deal. But someone says to you, can you actually do this to the camera? You go, oh, I never thought you'd ask. So it's a bit of good fun to get out there and throw a few slides around.
Let's talk about road rage. Brockie, it's something that we've imported, like, just about everything from America and London, where it's all the rage. What about yourself? Are you, when you're driving around as just Mr. Joe Public in your car, are you getting narky? Are you looking at other drivers? Are you muttering under your breath? Do you curse in the car?
Well, we're all human.
We're all human, yeah.
But I think one of the things you've got to do is you've got to understand these days that that's really leading you nowhere. I mean, why get all this stress and aggravation for something you can't really control? I mean, why get aggravated about it? But I have seen a lot of road ragey stuff. In fact, I was pulling up a set of lights in Whitehorse Road the other day, and there's a guy pull up in front of me, and I didn't see him doing anything crazy, and a car rips in beside him, hops out, decks him, but the trouble was the window was wound up and he smashed the glass so hard, broke the glass, and it cut the faces on the people inside the car.
Ouch.
Well, there's a whole episode.
That's
I thought, where was the video camera? But there is a lot of that stuff happening out there. And
have you been on the receiving end yourself? Have you had someone go on the horn and like really going you, then realised it's you and gone, oh, Jesus.
I will tell you, one day I was driving down Beaconsfield Parade, and my wife was driving. I'd had a couple of beers, so I'm sitting back in the passenger seat, playing it cool, and Bev's driving along, and she sort of meandered slightly, and the guy in front was, or the guy beside us was trying to get through. Pull up the set of lights, and the guy pulls up beside us, and I wound my window down, he looked around and said, oh, God, it's Peter Brock, you know. And I said to him, mate, I totally accept what you're saying. That was one of the worst pieces of driving I've ever seen anyone do in my life. Bev, you should know better.
Well, I took the wind out of his sails. He didn't know what to do.
Kick my butt. Go on.
But it defused the whole situation, turned a bit of humour into it all, where it could have very easily been one of those nasty ones.
And, Brocky, you let your wife drive the car. Yeah, that's interesting. What sort of passenger are you?
I'm a very bad one.
Yeah.
I'm the world's worst backseat driver, I can tell you. I sit back there and I think, oh, Bev, change gears. Go now, go now, go, go. Stop. Oh, what are you doing? So it takes a lot, I guess, for a racing driver to sort of detach from those things.
Sure. Do you ever forget where you are? Do you ever pull into a petrol station and just wind down the window going, go, go, go? You know, as if, you know.
90 seconds.
Wet.
And when you get home from the service station and you check your watch and you know what time you've done, do you get out a bottle of champagne and just spray it all over yourself? Do you do that?
Oh, the dogs. The poor dogs. They're very happy hounds, I can tell you. A bit of Maui champagne on them. But
you been in an accident on the road?
I have, but I've been very fortunate. There have been very few and far between. And I guess that in this day and age with radars and speed cameras and goodness knows what, that I've had to change my whole approach to driving. Because, hey, I've been bitten, I can tell you, and I ain't going to get bitten again.
And you don't want to end up on your own TV program, Peter Brock.
Think of the ratings, though. Think of the ratings. I can imagine the Channel 7 people there going, oh, we don't mind a bit of publicity, but do we really need this from Peter? I'm not too sure about this.
Well, all the best of luck with this series. It starts this Wednesday on the 7 Network, and also all the best of luck with them. Are you going back to the mountain?
I'll be back there.
You're going to get that 10th one?
Well, I've got to put a lot of people out of their misery. I think it's got to be done.
Yeah. All right. Well, all the best of luck to you, Brock. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, guys.
Olive, Martin, Malloy, Belinda, if you're listening, give us a call and you could be in too deep in something we got going here.
It's time for Radio's Premier Talent Quest, Heart of Shite. Could you be the next Bindi Paxton, the next Ian Buckland, the next Maria Venuti, Yahoo Serious, or Animal, that drummer who used to be on Hey Hey? Even if you're merely the current animal, give us a call and let us lead you to the pot of shite at the end of the rainbow.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday.
There she goes.
To you.
All right, there we go. That was very steamy.
And Julie, is this a performance you turn on from time to time?
No, I just sang it the other night with my husband and nearly pissed himself laughing.
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a 3-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music. He goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
Your wish is our command, Pete Smith. It is time to stir the pot, and the Ford Australian Open is... I know tickets are on sale now. And
selling like hotcakes.
You should get them early because I know that every 1,000th ticket sold gets you the privilege of going to wherever it is the controls for the big roof is at the tennis centre in Melbourne. Flinders Park, whatever they're calling it now.
Park.
You can have a play. Melbourne Park, I wouldn't know. It's sport.
Mm.
But you get to have a play on the window or the big door.
Up and out. Look out. Yes, you can pretend it's like that big spacecraft from Independence Day coming across the top of the stadium.
You got to go
because it's your one chance. You know, the Ford Australian Open is one of the few tennis tournaments that brings the Woodies out of their compound for rich people in Florida.
Yeah.
They're going to be there live, and I've been stalking the Woodies for years now, so I'll be taking advantage of this situation.
Yeah. Now,
I'm a Woody nut.
Tell me who the Woodies are again. They're not brothers, are they?
I'm a Woody nut.
You're a Woody nut.
I'm mad for the Woodies.
They're not brothers, are they?
No.
Are they romantically involved?
No, they're just linked by their general woodiness.
Okay. They're a couple of Woodies.
Right.
A couple of Woodies.
And they look the part.
And you know the thing I like about the Ford Australian Open? You never know. You just never know when a couple of television celebrities are going to come running out with a giant tennis racket.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Oh, I love the giant tennis rackets. So book now for the Ford Australian Open. They're the only people willing to attach their name to Potter Shite. And it's no reflection on the Open itself. It's just that they feel so secure.
Yep.
Within themselves that they can be linked to such a fabulous segment. And do you have talent? No? Give us a call. 1-800-657-657.
Self-invited guests.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
Yes, it's time to be entertained, Australia, as we dip into the pot of shite here at Martin Molloy. It's pretty simple. It's raw, untreated talent, as we so often say. Who is involved today, Mickey?
Well, check him out. It's Warren. How are you, Warren?
Not bad, not bad.
That's the way. What special skill are you bringing to the table today on Potto?
Well, actually, I never considered as much of a talent until I heard what else was on your show.
And welcome aboard.
what I can do is if I'm told words, just English words mainly.
Right.
I can tell you how many letters is in that word.
All right, let's test you then, Warren. Spell this word. Warren.
Six.
Six. Six letters in Warren. Okay, what about Molloy?
Six.
Oh, well.
I'm guessing.
Yes. Pneumonia.
Ten.
Well, I think it's nine.
Oh, is it?
Ryan, I could be wrong.
I don't think there's a K in you,
mate.
There's a silent F. I'm sure there was a silent F.
What about perpendicular?
Perpendicular.
13.
Oh, yes, 13. Capo Bianco.
Capo Bianco, 10.
All right, what about shifts of?
Pardon?
He's the star of Love Serenade. He's mad.
I'll take a guess at seven there. I don't know that one.
Oh, it's eight. But, I mean, who would know George Shepsoff? Uma Paloma Blanca.
Una, three. Paloma, three. Six. Bianca, six.
Well, okay, you just stay primed and ready, Warren, because we're going to be coming back to test you at any moment, okay?
I'll be ready.
You hang in there. This is astonishing. I'm breathtaken by that. But I'm going to forge on nonetheless and ask, is Liz there? Liz?
Hello.
Liz, are you going to astonish us the way that Warren did?
Oh, I hope so.
What have you got?
I'm going to take off Crash Test Dummies with a Difference.
Crash Test Dummies. Oh, I remember them.
With a Difference.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, take it away.
Once there was this boy who got into an accident and couldn't go to school. But when they finally made him, his hair had turned from black into bright white. He couldn't quite explain it.
I think that's enough. What is going on?
What happened at the end?
That's great,
Peter
Liz.
Andre.
Yeah, send it to Peter Andre.
Send it to Peter Andre.
There's a good combination. We'd all like to see Peter Andre as a crash test dummy at some stage.
Let's just go back to Warren for a second. And, Warren, can you spell tuneless?
Pardon? Eight,
of course. Here's one for you. Micro-miniaturisation. It's a real word found it in the dictionary.
Can you get back to me?
We'll get back to you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Warren. Thanks very much, Liz. Mm. We have James with us. James, you're going to impress us, aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah.
What do you got?
Whippersnapper, a big brush cutter thing, and I'm going to play the Muppet song.
Oh, you're going to play the theme from the Muppets?
Yep.
Or Manamana?
Yeah, Manamana.
Oh, Manamana. Okay, take it away.
All right. Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
Yes. You wanted to spell that?
Is that our winner?
I don't know. If that's what you reckon, I'll go with it.
I think it'll have to be today. And we always ask this, James, do you belong to an orchestra?
No.
All right, well, you've won the 3-pack of CDs.
All right.
You'll be able to sit around practicing the theme from Friends on the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And all right, and maybe you could reduce the cast while you're about it. And also, you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva Trio. Thanks for playing Pot of Shite.
All right, thanks, Alan.
And thanks to Liz and Warren as well. We'll be back with another pop same time tomorrow. Martin Malloy. Love comes easy here at Martin Malloy. Thanks to people who were involved in Pot of Shite today. I really don't know if we're going to be able to top that tomorrow.
Confibulation. Where's he gone?
He's not there anymore.
Yeah, right.
Here's a good one for him. Have a good weekend.
That's one word. Emmaloglu. Hey, he's going running like a little fraidy cat now.
Did I call George Shefsov mad?
Yes, you
that
did.
Segment?
That three. Mad. M-A-D. Three.
George Shefsov is a very fine Australian actor who gives a very, very good performance in Love, Serenade, a film which I'm recommending to people simply because it's been snubbed by the AFI.
Yeah, but he's still mad.
Yeah, okay. He's mad as. And he gives a superb performance as, I suppose, what you would call a washed-up disc jockey. I don't know why we're impressed by that. But, you know, I was probably thinking about George when we had a crack at this little bit here.
Okay, that's Chris Isaak with Only the Lonely. This is The Late Shift, and I'm Carl Van Kyl, keeping you company right through till 2 a.m. here at Bilo. And it's assorted creams down to a low $2.99. Check them out, shoppers. You'll find them in aisle 3. Hey, what's happening down in aisle 16? Hortico Potting Mix, a rich organic medium providing excellent drainage and moisture retention. Now just a crazy $2.97, save 52 cents. You got me. What about jam roulettes from Top Taste? Check this, just $1.99, happening. And hey, how about pork riblets? Would your good buddy Carl steer you wrong, shoppers? Snap them up for just $3.28. All right. Time for traffic, and there's a three-trolley snarl down in fruit and veg. If you're heading for the deli, take a shortcut through confectionery. That's my advice to you. Bit of a baby food spill in aisle 4. That's on the move. Steer clear. And rogue spaghetti hoops are making the going pretty funky down in 14. Give it a wide one. Chubba chups. Grab some on your way out. Down to just 10 cents each. Go mad. Buy 4. And hey, this just through from the front office. Price check. Price check. Wonder Soft toilet tissue with that unique 2-ply quality. 6-pack, aisle 4, move it if you could, Brendan. And hey, I've just had a request, all right. Speak up. Okay, happening. I'll be back after this. It's one of the classics. Enjoy.
Part winding up today's round of Martin Malloy, just before we go, I've been leafing through the paper. Mm. There's something called Hey Hey, It's Cinderella coming to a stage near you, Mickey.
Crikey.
It's a pantomime. It's Hey Hey. And they've settled on Cinderella. Weren't they going to do something more serious originally?
Hey, hey, it's Waiting for Godot.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think was the one I'm waiting, hanging out for.
Hey, hey, it's Angels in America.
It's Ox. Hey, hey, it's Macbeth. Hey, hey, it's The Diary of Anne Frank. No, it's a great night out.
You could just do it with anything.
You could.
You really. But, yeah, it's. I'm assuming that if something's hey, hey, wouldn't it have to have Daryl Summers in it?
Mm.
Instead, this stars somebody called Richard Grieve. Who's Richard Grieve?
I don't know.
Is he Daryl's stage name, perhaps?
The guy in the duck suit.
But nonetheless, the reason I'm pointing this out is because you're going through the cast and it's various Hey Hey regulars and people like that, and then it says Molly Meldrum as the fairy godmother.
Mm.
Now, when you're in the theatre, you have to show up promptly. You have to be there every night. You have to be in a reasonable stage to present, you know, shape to present yourself on stage.
Yep.
That's going to be a I'm going to be going along to a few of these, I think, to see how the fairy godmother shakes down.
That's
going to
be a full-time job for someone, isn't it? Who's looking after the fairy godmother?
You know.
Who's got a sighting?
You know, Cinderella's going to be doing her business on stage, and suddenly she'll be told from the wings,
mention Peter Andre! Why aren't you saying anything about Peter Andre?
Enough about that. What's the Prime Minister done?
Well, look, there's a bit of a furor going on in Canberra town. Firstly, you might remember Paul Keating's $23,000 teak table that caused a furor.
For the lodge.
For the lodge. Well, Howard's having a crack. Listen to this. He's spent $8,500 on a wardrobe for a bedroom at Curabilly House.
Right.
You know why he had to get a new one?
Why is that?
He broke the last one, diving off it. You know, he wears the cape and goes for the rummage and then the sack. Yes, he had to. What do you need $8,500 wardrobe for?
Maybe.
What's he keeping in there?
Jim Short, probably, I think. Going to be in there.
Black jackets. Plenty of them.
That's pretty cute.
Lots of those little hats with the propellers on top. No, you need a safe posse.
You know,
lots of those thermal underwear with the arse flap. 20 pairs.
That could be a good gladiators for tomorrow. What's Johnny Howard keeping in his $8,500 wardrobe?
There you go.
Start thinking now.
You know what I'm thinking? Blue velvet.
Oh, yeah. Don't use them all up, Mickey. We might need them tomorrow. We'll see what happens. And really, we've got to go. Thanks to our guests, Peter Brock and all our gladiators and pot stirrers. Tomorrow we'll be joined by, listen to this, every now and then we attempt to inject some culture into the program, Leo Schofield, Mr. Art, is going to be joining us here at Martin Malloy. Remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come and have a word to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.